Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Chris.
I'm Matt.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to be talking today about Minute 21. We've got some of our favorite guests back. Well, at least one of our favorite guests, and that's Dawn. Welcome back, Dawn.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And we've also got a new guest. His name is Matt Porubkansky.
And well said, sir.
Yes, awesome. I'm just going to call you Matt from now on.
We could call you Porg.
Yeah, Porg.
Right,
call
him Porg. I do not like the direction this is going. Though, those things are really cute, though.
They're not cute.
They're so adorable.
They're going to eat
your
soul.
Do you see their nice big eyes?
The big eyes that don't blink and want to eat your soul.
Aww.
This minute begins with Ethan telling Jim that Glitzen is out in the open and ends with Jim yelling, abort! As we learned last week, things aren't going well. We lost Tony Beretta. Oh. R.I.P.
Sad,
it's okay.
Sad
His
days.
Name sucked anyway.
Oh,
we lost the most profitable actor in the last 30 years.
That's true. That's true.
It's the worst feeling.
Luckily, we can't lose anymore, so it should be smooth sailing from here on out.
So everybody survives these 5 minutes.
Everybody. Yeah, awesome. Nobody dies this week.
Great.
Nobody's going to die.
Good. It's good because I'm feeling very vulnerable right now, and any deaths would make me feel a little bit rattled.
The only problem is right now, the music is telling me someone else is going to die.
Oh, no.
Damn you, Danny Elfman.
The music is full of tension, very tense right now. We see a great tracking shot, the U.S. Embassy, as they move along the river in Prague. And they're going, we now see the bridge that Jim was running across before, but we hadn't actually seen it from far away yet. This is the Charles Bridge in Prague.
It was actually, I have a tiny anecdote about. In 1996 in the summer, I took a little trip to Central Europe, and there I was on the Charles Bridge. The very same year they released this movie.
You stepped in the same footprints as John Voight.
It was unpleasant.
You don't like John Voight?
His contempt for his daughter is weird.
But luckily we're not talking about that. We're talking about all the great things about him. And he's the best agent ever, and he's never going to ever betray anyone, and it's fantastic.
I love him. Optimism.
We do.
He's going to live forever.
We think he's a figure of pure good with his Snapchat glasses.
And Chris and Dawn, you guys have been around for the most time. Jim's now the star of the movie, right?
So far, I guess.
I mean, it's hard to say because also there's Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise you would just expect to be the star of the movie as well.
And I thought Tony Beretta was the star of the movie at some point too. So, you know, everybody's, you know, on the line here. Everybody could die any moment now. You know, we never know. That's the crazy part about this.
I don't like the way this movie's shaping up, guys. I've really grown close to this team. They've created some very deep, rich characters, especially for the female characters in this movie.
Really deep, sexy lamps.
Speaking of which, Jim is being followed. While he's being followed, Tom Cruise, Ethan, and Kristen Scott Thomas are still canoodling. Jim tells them, he calls for an abort. And this is the first shot in the movie where we see Ethan show some sort of emotion. He's definitely frustrated. He just lost his friend, and he's now trying to react quicker, and he starts thinking about the abort, and he's like, we can't abort.
He's telling him we can't. I mean, he's arguing that we can't abort, basically. And I mean, it's also the first time that we sort of see Ethan be a character and not be, you know, a previous Tom Cruise character or any of the things that we were talking about the past weeks. You know, he's actually starting to become, we're starting to see more of who he is as this character.
I agree. This is the first scene where he actually becomes closer to the Ethan that you learn about later in the other movies. The Ethan that takes control of situations, has a gut instinct, and goes with that gut instinct no matter what the plan happened to be before.
He's probably the first Ethan that you see that's also not a caricature. Before, he was definitely mugging for the camera, and in this case, he starts to feel a little bit like an actual character.
Exactly.
And if you look at Kristen Scott Thomas's face, she looks petrified.
Yeah.
About this entire situation. She is one of the people that seems like she's going to follow whatever Jim says. If Jim says to abort, she's ready to abort. Whereas he's like, no, we cannot abort. The package is out in the open. We have to get him.
Why is it always abort? Why isn't it like quit or let's go home or cancel or think twice about this?
The word abort?
Yeah. In spy movies, it's always abort. It's never, we're screwed. Run.
What I'm liking is that De Palma's really starting to build the tension here between his shot choices, the intercutting between the two sections of the film, and with Danny Elfman's music. It's really all starting to really just build in this minute.
And they're showing it for the first time outside and not on a set. Yep. And not in an enclosed environment. So I think that also lends itself to a little more flexibility when it comes to tension's the wrong word, but it definitely gives it depth. So yeah, Ethan's arguing the call. This is the first time we've seen him counterman Jim, because Jim said earlier in the safe house that when he calls abort, everybody walks away.
And going back to what just happened earlier in their plan, it was a pretty bad plan to give this guy the ability to just walk out of there with all the information to begin with.
Well, as we said before, this was the plan.
It's a pretty terrible plan.
Walk out with...
with a floppy disk.
Floppy disk.
With a floppy disk. He has a floppy disk in his pocket that contains one half of the knock list, and it's going to go to the highest bidder the second he gets away. And now they're all panicked because they don't know what to do.
Presumably, they don't know what pocket lint does to 3.5-inch floppy disks.
Yeah, they don't know that it's going to get snagged on the inside of his pants or coat.
But men have pockets. You see what you can do with pockets? You can hide knock lists in pockets.
I do it every day.
I don't even understand how what my world would be like if that was the case.
Women have pockets.
Women don't have pockets.
Women have pockets, but they're like 80% as big as
not even 80%. So most of the time when a woman's pants look like they have pockets, they don't actually follow all the way through. If you're really lucky and they do, you might be able to stick a couple of fingers in there.
Hey-o.
That's definitely not going in.
Pockets.
I'm not the only sinner
Women
anymore.
Don't get pockets.
Yes.
We want pockets.
Well, Gallitzin's pocket is right now full of probably the only tech we actually see in this shot. Matt, so you know, every episode we talk about the tech of the ep. It's the best tech that has been shown in that minute.
Actually, there is a different tech. There is a different tech here because they're talking back and forth without touching anything, without pressing anything down, and they just can hear each other fairly easily. So that's a pretty good tech right there.
So I think Chris is starting it off already with his pick.
Yeah, that's my pick.
The early the Bluetooth. Omnidirectional microphone and...
Yeah, because I mean, you know, every movie since this movie has used it, like even the Bond films. And I saw watching the Avengers the other night, and there they are talking to each other, not touching anything, not just randomly talking like they're right next to each other, but they're miles apart. So,
well, they're not wearing the glasses anymore. So does that mean that the microphone is inside
That's
the earpiece?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
So it is also a microphone and a receiver.
Yeah, I would think so.
But John Voight's glasses are Broadcasto glasses. Is that correct?
Yeah, because
they're called Visco glasses.
And it's special tech.
Yep, and IMF is lousy with these glasses. Earlier, at least four people out of six IMF agents was wearing glasses.
I saw a news article that says that Snap Incorporated has about 150,000 warehoused unsold Snapchat spectacles. So maybe these are those.
What are Snapchat spectacles?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably we would know if we were 18.
And also have studiously avoided them. Yeah, so they put sort of style into what you might think of as Google Glass.
Which is a product that also failed.
For a while they tried, because Google Glass looks stupid.
So do Snapchat spectacles.
But now big glasses are back in. People like those Harry Carey sized glasses.
Not these big glasses.
One of the funny things was I got to play with Google Glass for a little bit, and the guy who was allowing me to demo his pair was saying, he worked for Google, and he was saying, yeah, it's really great because in the middle of meetings, if I get messages and that sort of thing, I can just deal with it right there, and nobody knows that I'm dealing with it. And I thought, oh no, I bet everybody understands when you get that glazed over look and you're kind of pointing yourself into a corner. Everybody knows that you're responding to something that's not happening in the meeting right now. I think it's pretty clear.
Especially if someone's talking to you.
Right. Exactly.
And you're like, hold on. Get a text.
Uh-oh. Kyle's looking like John Voight again, off in the corner in his own little world.
This minute ends with John Voight running across the bridge saying that he has a tail. And this tail has, he can't shake it. He quickly said this, so it was kind of weird that, you know, he just turns around and sees it. So I'm sure it means nothing. I'm sure John Voight or Jim is a, I'm sure Jim is a expert in having tails that you can't get rid of. So
of course,
to be clear,
really
we're talking anatomically, right?
We never see the tail. We never see who's following him.
He has a vestigial tail. That's what he's talking about. Don't come up here, Ethan. I have a tale.
It's so embarrassing. I don't want you to see me this way. I have another nomination for tech.
What's your nomination for tech?
The bridge that's been in continuous for since the 13th century.
Awesome. Renaissance masonry.
Yeah. Renaissance masonry. Keystones. Arches. Good stuff.
Buttresses.
Buttresses.
Awesome. All right. I like that. That's actually, that's, you know what, in this minute, that might win. It's pretty solid.
That's pretty good.
Rocking.
Tech of the week is the buttress.
That reminds me of being in Ronda, Spain. There are two major bridges in it, and one of them is literally, it translates to the new bridge. The new bridge was built by the Romans, but it's still in use.
They built good stuff.
They built good stuff. Well, that's good tech.
It's closest to today, so it becomes the newest, I guess, the new one.
Exactly.
I also think that the Steadicam that's following John Voight is quite impressive. It's a very nice Steadicam shot that they've been following with over the course of this minute.
It turns into almost a horror movie, like the shot that they have of John running down the street, running down that bridge. It looks like a medium shot you would use in a stalker movie where you can just either it's a real the focal point's real small. So you can only see not focal point. That's the wrong thing I'm thinking of. I'm using the wrong term. It's a very flat image, you know?
Yeah, it's got a wide angle lens on it. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. It makes everything very flat, so it makes it like, I don't know what's going on behind him. If we saw another angle, we might see who was following him.
Or you might see his tail.
Yeah, or we'd see John Voight's tail.
I think this is the first sequence in the film. I mean, we've gotten some very De Palma-esque moments in the early part of the film, but this is the first sequence that's very much in his Hitchcockian phase, just like full-blown.
Yeah, I think the next 3 minutes are more Hitchcockian than the rest of the movie's been when it comes to his camera work. And we'll see that in the next upcoming minutes. Definitely. Yeah, like he really did the – does he have in Snake Eyes, does he have split screens?
Yeah, there are a lot of split screens in Snake Eyes. And he's got that like 20-minute Steadicam shot or something like that. It's not 20 minutes actually, but it's like 15 minutes long. It's like crazy following Nick Cage around.
It's really interesting to me. That's his subsequent movie, because it feels to me like Snake Eyes is impossibly ancient at this point, whereas Mission Impossible in my mind's eye is still like pretty much with it in a way.
Yeah, I think the franchise still being around, you know, 20 years later, 21 years later, has been something that's kept it fresh. And people go back to this movie to see it as part of that franchise over the years. You know, every time there's a new one that comes out, you kind of have to watch all of them to see where they've been.
Think about it this way. This movie could drink now.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think these are all promising tech of the eps. I think I'm going to have to give it to the bridge. And also because Matt's one of our guests that's never been on before. So congratulations, Matt. You win tech of the ep.
Yeah, buttresses.
Buttresses.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for the bridge as well. You made a really good argument for having the bridge be tech of the week.
Yeah, I agree.
It is a great bridge.
It is.
It's a great bridge.
It is a great bridge.
It's a feat of engineering.
It appears very well in film. I mean, it looks great on film. So
that's a good title for the episode, too. This Great Bridge.
Love it.
What a great bridge.
Daw.
Daw. Well, now that you've been victorious, Matt, do you have anything you wanted to plug before we move on to the tomorrow's episode? Hopefully you can stay for that, right? You'll be able to come back tomorrow,
right? I should be able to come back tomorrow, yes.
Fantastic. We'll do minute 22. Do you have anything for Valentine's Day?
So what I'd like to plug is the upcoming March 23rd show of Rocks Geek, which will be at the Uptown Underground. And we're really looking forward to it because it's going to be our first sort of post-Star Wars extravaganza. And so we'll know more about Star Wars. We'll have seen more Star Wars stuff. And hopefully we will have exciting new costumes. Maybe even cute new aliens with gigantic eyes.
We've already seen Star Wars at this point.
we're actually like 3 months away from Han Solo, or from Solo now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Star
yeah.
Wars was so good. I'm so glad they brought Han Solo back.
It's hard doing it like that for us.
The fact that they brought him back as the soul of a Porg was amazing.
I hope we'll have a Porg. Don is firmly against having a Porg, but I want to have a Porg.
I love Porgs.
Porgs forever.
Porgs are weird.
Don, do you have anything you need to plug?
Sure. I am the founder and director of Rocks Geek, which Matt has already mentioned, which is a nerd-themed geek belly, it's a nerd themed belly dance and fire performance company. I often belly dance as a Wookiee. You can find us at Rocks Geek on Twitter, R-A-K-S Geek, and then also rocksgeek.com and Rocks Geek on Facebook. And you can also find me at Dawnxiana Moon. It's D-A-W-N-X-I-A-N-A moon.com. And also on Twitter and on Facebook and all of that as a singer-songwriter and also a nerd about town.
Fantastic. I know Matt can come back tomorrow. Can you come back tomorrow?
I can.
All right. We're going to leave you now and come back to Minute 22 tomorrow. You can always check any of our stuff at Min Impossible on Twitter, M-I-N Impossible, or the Impossible Minute Force on Facebook, where we talk about everything from books, comic books, anything having to do with Mission Impossible, and pretty much anything about movies.
Yeah, we will.
I've been Jonathan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Matt.
This minute will self-destruct.